This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Saturday, November 9th, 2024. The Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. We have these various feast days for the dedication of church buildings. Today, particularly the Lateran Basilica in Rome. It should give us pause to think about the fact that we are in the world, but not of the world. I think we really emphasize, sometimes maybe to our detriment, the whole spiritual side of things and not understand what good the church does in this world. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ instituted his church. This is why we have church buildings. They are of the utmost importance. Here we are on a path to build a new church, Lord willing. And there are some things that should be taken into consideration when you make a church. It should, for one thing, I submit, look like a church. I actually have somebody relatively recently was saying, well, the new building, oh, it's beautiful, but it's really kind of high. And if you lower the building a little bit, you know, you'd save some money. Well, for one thing, we did actually look into that, and it doesn't save all that darn much money in the grand scheme of things. And another thing, it's supposed to be high because it's a church. It's supposed to stand out over all the other buildings that are around it because it's a church and people are supposed to be attentive to it. It's supposed to be stand out just like our Lord was. So, I mean, there's a rationale here that is temporal because it's spiritual. This is where I want to go today. I want to kind of emphasize, you know, what do we have to understand? I'm going to just not talk about church buildings. I'm talking about why the church exists in and of itself. How much influence that we have on the temporal world, or should have on the temporal world. You know, you look at the church has always been an essential factor. I mean that word self-conscious, an essential factor in the well-being of the state. If the church is what she's supposed to be, the state will be for the better for it. We as Catholics, we look at the scriptures and there's some very particular and specific mandates about things. One thing we're supposed to understand about the governing authorities, that there is, Romans 13, there is no governing authority that is not placed there by God. People get and they deserve the government that God provides for them at any given time. This is just a reality. This is what the scriptures teach us. All power comes from God. Jesus was very specific about that when he confronting Pilate, or when Pilate was confronting him. Don't you know that I have the power to set you free or to crucify you? It's our Lord's response. You would have no power whatsoever if it wasn't given to you from on high. So our Lord emphasizes this whole thing of his own lips when he's submitting to a despotic government and ultimately going to result in his death, but he does not hesitate to tell him, you don't have any power at all unless it be given for you from on high. The way Catholics view the governing authorities, the way we should view them, I've heard some people, I've heard a pastor, a Protestant minister get on TV one time talking about, you know, we should not be paying our taxes because they go for that. See how that works out for you, pastor? For one thing, Mr. Bible alone, the scriptures say explicitly in Romans 13 that you must pay your taxes. Okay, our Lord Jesus Christ, render under Caesar that which is Caesar's, and God that which is God. So this whole thing about, you know, we don't do this because we're spiritual people. We don't. No, it doesn't work like that. In 1 Peter, in St. Peter's first letter, it specifically says that we are to obey the rulers. not when we just like them. It specifically says that you need to obey your rulers, not just the good ones, but the ones that are difficult, froward in the older English versions. This is the scripture's teaching about governments. The reason that I said before, governments benefit from the church being strong, because why? The church teaches morals. The church is what has been referred to historically as the conscience of society. She teaches morals. And good rulers recognize this. Good rulers, when I say good rulers, I didn't say Christians. I said good ruler, people who think about government. They appreciate that. Back in the day, Machiavelli, we're talking late Middle Ages. Machiavelli, who is looked upon still this day, you know, he's living centuries ago, and he's still looked upon as the father of modern political science. The guy, he was not religious in any way, shape, or form. He appreciated religion. He was not, he didn't like Catholics first. Well, he's Italian. And of course, in Italy, he didn't like Catholics because he said Catholics were basically pacifistic, and because we do what First Peter said. He said they had this problem with allowing despotic rulers to evil rulers to be over them, and they don't resist them. Again, if we resist that, society is not getting what God wants them to get. If we resist them, we just do what Scripture says. But Machiavelli, this guy who's not religious whatsoever, one of his primary and explicit statements was, the surest sign of ruin in a state is when religion is neglected. This is a man who himself had no religion. It's kind of weird in the way he presented too, because he basically said that princes, heads of state, they should not be religious. He explicitly said that. The prince should not be religious, but they should do everything that they possibly can to make their people religious. Why? Because he knew what the church taught about being obedient to your princes. So this is a big thing. Sounds kind of contradictory, but it's not. He just appreciated the temporal benefits of a moral people. And you learn morals from the church. States would understand this. Even people like pagans, like Machiavelli. It's proof positive. When you have a religious society, things generally work. The early years of this country, for instance, you had all over the place. You got, you know, Anglicans, some sprinkling of Catholics, mostly Protestants. They have some semblance of religion. They fear God. And this place worked pretty well for about 100, 150 years. Now, states that persecute the church, they sooner or later experience very ill effects, to say the least. You look at history, look at the history of Europe. France used to be looked upon as second only to Rome when it came to the faith. She's the sister of Rome. It's so religious. And now look at her. Now, torn apart. Places in France where the cops won't even go. Why? Because Sharia law rules the streets. This is what happens. Look at the U.S. Like I said, first 100 or so years, everything going pretty well here because people just fear God. They knew you get along with people and everything like that. And now look, now we bit the bullet last past week. At the end of the day, why is there such this turmoil amongst some about this? Because this is what happens when a good portion of your society becomes immoral or amoral. Immoral being doing things that are opposite of your morality. Amoral means you have no morals. And that's basically where these folks are, a lot of them. And so, you know, we see objectively this truth about the state. And when I say persecuting religion, does that necessarily mean throwing you in jail? No. But does it mean that Christian morals are belittled and there are laws passed to where the enforcement of what we would consider Christian mandates or passing laws that are antithetical to Christianity, there's going to be problems, and we're having problems. Like I said, we bit the bullet on a big problem, but wait a couple more years. This is just how this works. A moral state benefit, a moral populace benefits the state. You know, you look at history. How many people have been restrained from being criminals? Name your crime. Because why? because the church teaches that you don't steal from people, you don't kill people, you don't commit adultery, things like that. And even if you didn't believe the church's teaching, back in the day, they feared the judgment of God. They not necessarily live a life of Christianity, but they wouldn't at least publicly do that, because why? They feared God. Why does the church, why were certain things, if you do this, you will not receive, if you are engaged in a duel with somebody, you will not receive a Christian funeral. It was that people didn't get involved in duels because they didn't think it was right to kill another person, or they thought they might go to hell because they were excommunicated. That's a huge thing. When you don't fear God, then problems happen. You really hit prisons. How many devout Christians are in prison? Unless they're there for being devout Christians, and that's a whole different story. I'm talking about prisons where criminals are. Murderers, rapists, thieves, all that kind of stuff. How many of those incarcerated are devout Christians? Notice I said devout Christians, not, hey, my mom and dad stayed home at Christmas. You know, okay, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about devout Christians. It's not a thing. This is around. The church, she teaches morals. She teaches her people that to get to heaven, you do works of mercy, which means fending for the suffering. Okay, that means we take a lot of the burden off of governments. Heck, back in the day, it used to be only the church who fended for people. They were like, if the church didn't fend for you, you didn't get fended for. Look at what the Catholic Church has done throughout history. Schools, college, formal education, as we know it, was an establishment by the Catholic Church. In your, all the great universities, they're all Catholics. The schools that the church and the necessity of education for everyone, these things, Catholic hospitals, Saint this, Saint that, Catholic orphanages, name your institutions. All these institutions of mercy are, and historically have been anyway, when they use Catholic, they actually believe Catholic things. Now, unfortunately, places like Notre Dame, yeah, I'll throw out names every now and then. They shouldn't even be able to use the term Catholic, but they were established by Catholics. And that's the point. The Catholic Church has always been for the betterment of society. And if it doesn't happen, the problem lies in the fact that you get corruption amongst your people. The Holy Spirit has let us know that from the Old Testament and the prophecy of Hosea, chapter 4. It starts out, "Hear the word of the Lord, for the Lord shall enter into judgment with the inhabitants of the land. For there is no truth, there is no mercy, there is no knowledge of God in the land. Cursing and lying and killing and theft and adultery have overflowed." It's back Old Testament. Okay. Nothing new under the sun. Look at those things that he says about, for there is no truth. Look at it. Boys and girls, there is no truth. There is no mercy. Mothers killing their babies piecemeal. There is no knowledge of God. God's whatever, the big man upstairs, he doesn't exist, cosmic Santa Claus, all these various and sundry things. You have to have a supernatural knowledge of God, not an idol you've made up in your own mind. And this is what Hosea is talking about. Like I said, there's nothing new under the sun. And every time it happens in a society, it corrupts and it goes away over a period of time. So at the end of the day, this is why we celebrate the dedication of churches. This is why we should never just completely spiritualize our faith and understand how much good you do for people in this world. It starts in your families. But at the end of the day, the families are the building block of society. And when things are running right, society runs right. If not, the opposite occurs. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.